Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast and one of the pastors on staff at Brookside Baptist Church, Pastor Greg Huffman. And Pastor Greg, it's always good to do a broadcast with you, and we've enjoyed our time together as we've been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount.
We certainly have.
You know, when we talk about that sermon, you know, I know we say this quite frequently in these broadcasts, but really it is the fullest account of a sermon that we have anywhere of the Lord. And it really does kind of boggle my mind, at least. It certainly gets my attention that this is really what the Lord would have said if we were standing around listening to him talk, because he would have been seated. That was the custom of the rabbinic teachers of the day. And he would have delivered this message much like we would give a short sermon. And then, of course, there would have been some other interchanges that went on around it. But it's interesting to me to just think that we really have a sermon of the Lord's here.
It's just amazing to look at the way he put it together. We seem to be really wordy so many times, but just verse after verse after verse, he just kind of nails it, and he says, blessed are these guys, blessed are these guys, blessed are these guys. And it's not very long into the sermon before you realize that's not something that comes naturally. How in the world is that going to happen in my life? Because I haven't experienced it like that.
Right, and that's, I think, part of why I think sometimes people think, well, this really has to then be an evangelistic sermon. Because when a person actually doesn't find himself able to do these things, that he goes to Christ and Christ enables him. And I think that's one of the reasons why people think that. But you're exactly right about that. Even as Christians, when we try to do this in our own strength, it becomes impossible to do. And I think that's one of the great promises the Lord made to his disciples. He was with them, and for 3.5 years, he helped them to do this. But just before he departed to ascend back to his Father, he promised to send them another comforter, an enabler, someone who would strengthen them in his absence. And so really, when you stop and look at these Beatitudes, these disciples were in the presence of one who could help them, and you and I today have dwelling within us the third member of the Trinity, and he helps us to do these as well. But you're right. If we try to do these in our own strengths, we are not going to be able to do them.
Well, Jesus obviously said, without me, you can do nothing. And so when it comes to the next verse, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It is so difficult to make peace when our old nature wants to make war. Mm-hmm. And we want to fight for the principle of the thing, whether it's in our marriage or it's on the job or it's at church or it's with our circle of friends. It's just so easy for us to fight for the principle of the thing as opposed to saying, what would God do if he were right here in my shoes?
You know, and that's really kind of a great place to jump off in our broadcast with our listeners. And it'd be kind of fun for them to try to answer this along with you, because I'm going to throw a question at you. And that is this. If somebody were to say to you, now that person over there, and they were to name somebody, is a real peacemaker. Now that guy is just a peacemaker. What would you think when you thought about him? When you think of the idea of a peacemaker, what do you think that looks like?
It reminds me of a story of a guy that saw two people in his church that weren't talking, hadn't talked for years. And so he went to the first fellow, and he started talking about the guy that he wasn't talking to. And then he said, you know, but he is this, and mentioned something like, he's a hard worker. And the guy said, well, yeah, he is a hard worker. And then he kind of closed the conversation. He then went to the other guy, and he said, you know, I was talking to Brother So-and-so the other day, and he was telling me what a hard worker you are. And the fellow said, really? Wow. And then the mediator said, but, you know, that guy is just really thoughtful to his family, isn't he? Well, yeah, I'll give him that. He then went back to the first guy and said, you know what Brother So-and-so said about you? He said, you are one of the most thoughtful men toward your family. He did. And the story goes that the next time those two guys saw each other, they began to just, they at least nodded at each other. Then the next time smiled at each other. And pretty soon they began to speak to each other. When I think of a peacemaker, I think of someone who is looking for something that's positive in each person as opposed to what's driving the wedge between them and try to pull them together.
In fact, he's trying to pull that wedge out.
Exactly. Exactly.
And oftentimes when we think about somebody who's a peacemaker, we think of somebody who is just trying to keep the peace so that things don't blow up. But what you just described is actually the opposite of that. It's actually becoming proactive.
Correct.
In removing that which is creating the conflict, or at least trying to remove that which is creating the conflict. And the whole point to that would be this, that in order to become a peacemaker, we have to understand what the biblical concept of that is. And really, in order to be a peacemaker, one of the first things that has to happen is we have to possess the peace that we're talking about. And in essence, that's, I think, a big part of the reason that it's so hard for us to function this way.
I guess because when I think of peace, the average person in the world, I guess, thinks of peace as everything's cool.
Right.
Everything's going great. Yeah.
And yeah, life's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my relationships are good. My job's good. Life is good. And then all of a sudden, there's bad stuff happening. I lose my job. My kid gets sick. My friend is not my friend anymore. And now my life is a mess and there's no peace. And so to be a peacemaker means I'm just trying to get it back to that level, when in essence, the biblical idea of peacemaking is to bring about a restoration of harmony between God and man, and sometimes between man and man.
So it's seeing it as God sees it, which means in the midst of hard times, mm-hmm. we can have peace. I guess that's what Jesus meant when he said, a peace that passeth all understanding.
Right.
The folks that are watching won't understand how we can possibly have that kind of peace.
Well, Jesus actually said it this way, in addition to what you just said a minute ago in John 14, verse 27, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace, peace that comes from me, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And that really is kind of the unfolding out of Jesus' own mouth of what he's thinking when he says, now I'm going to give you peace. And so when you think about peace, you're actually coming to a place in order to understand it where you're trying to think through its source. How did this peace come about? And Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the fact that God is the ultimate peacemaker. In fact, remember we said, or Jesus said rather at the end of this beatitude, that people who are like this will be called the sons of God.
Right.
Now, I know you've preached through these beatitudes. Is that right?
Correct.
Do you remember when you preached through what that sons of God was?
I don't. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And I'm not sure I remember either because it's been a while since I've done it. That's why I was kind of passing the ball to you.
In my mind, it's, in other words, we are the example of what God is like. And so we are a reflection of God when we are able to show that we are making peace when by nature we don't feel like making peace. We feel like making war. And so we are a picture of God in the eyes of the world.
Right. And I think that as you think about that phrase, sons of God, when you talked about a son of righteousness, you're talking about a son or a person who was marked by that quality.
Correct.
Here's a son of foolishness. Well, he's marked by that quality. Well, in this case, you're a son of God, and what's marking your life in this particular context is this incredible thing that he did. He made peace. The fact that we have peace with him did not start with us. In other words, he's the one that initiated that by sending his son into the world. And that came because he loved the world. And he sent his son into the world to be a sacrifice for that world. And in fact, when we get down to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, for example, we're told that God did this because he wanted to reconcile all things to himself, whether those things were in heaven or on earth, having made peace through the blood of his cross. When you think about the source of all of this, it was God, and the way that God made peace was a horrific way. He sent his son, and his son actually had to die so that the wrath of God could be propitiated. And so God got actively involved in our plight.
And so I guess we could say if we are wanting to be a peacemaker like Christ, then we're going to have to suffer like he did. We will be taking pain sometimes so that others can experience the peace that only God can bring.
And we're going to have to get involved.
Yes.
And sometimes it means initiating things and removing things that are in the way of peace. You know, sometimes you really can't – you think about God for a minute. There is a place where God allows a person to make his own decisions. But God takes all of the impediments away so that if that person wants to make the decision, he can. But God never forces a man into peace with him.
Right.
But he takes away all of the obstacles and all of the impediments to that so that if that man wants to, he can. Well, we need to be like that.
That's what a peacemaker really is.
Yeah, he works hard to create an environment where all of the obstacles to peace with another person are removed, and then that person has to make a decision to be at peace with this individual, or if you're the mediator between these two individuals. And it's the initiation that comes from God and the involvement and really even the cost to this that really I think Jesus is pointing to when he says, now I want you to be a peacemaker. This is what it means for you. You're going to have to be a person who cultivates peace, and that means you personally have to be at peace with me. You've got to experience that peace.
Because you can't tell anybody else about this peace if they look at you and say, if that's what you have, I don't think I'm interested. But if they see peace in your heart and life, then it becomes attractive. And they want to know, where did you find that?
And I would say, maybe as we kind of wrap the broadcast up today, that the big take home for me in all of this, as you think about peace and you think about being a peacemaker, is this. When I'm at peace with God, that means that relationally, all of the conflict is gone. But if I'm not at peace with God, I'm probably not going to really have an opportunity much to enjoy the right kind of peace with others.
If a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Mm-hmm. And that's a wonderful way to wrap our broadcast up. It may be that you really are struggling with this as you hear the broadcast, and you need to know that God the Father went through an incredible amount of difficulty and investment to make a peace available to you, and it's yours for the asking. So if you're listening this morning and you've never done that, you've never come to that place where you've asked the Lord to forgive your sins, where you've laid down your arms, as it were, in this war against God, let us invite you to do that. I know I speak for Pastor Greg and all of this as well. We want you to enjoy the peace that God provided. You can download today's broadcast and all of the broadcasts in this series on the Sermon on the Mount, particularly Becoming a Person of Impact, at our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you.